Joe Weatherall.
No.
Well, welcome to the first talk of this particular session, and we are fortunate to have Joseph Weatherall here to essentially give a continuation of the previous talk, and his talk will be some features of SAGE. Joe?
Thank you, and thank the organizers for inviting me. So I didn't actually realize at first that William was going to be giving a talk on SAGE at this conference also. So that nixed my first plan, which was just to grab William's standard slides. And So I had to come up with something different. And okay, so William has told you all about the great features of SAGE. And my job is going to be to tell you some about the less desirable features. And you know, I can hear from the laughter that no one's taking this too seriously. I'm not trying to humiliate William. Actually, the goal here is to try to provoke feedback. So I'm going to try to get through the slides quickly and then open it up to discussion about what are the important trade-offs. I mean, what this audience thinks are the important issues to address. You know, because trade-offs can be made. Okay, so I want you to think, while you're listening to this, of you know, what do I want to see in SAGE? What needs to be fixed before I would even consider trying it? And what would need to be fixed before I could use it in research? And you know, if you've seen, I mean, there's already a lot you can do, but you know, maybe there are other issues that need to be addressed. And I know William loves to hear about these things.
It's true.
And, you know, it's
I love criticism.
So this will be a great talk. Okay, so before we start critiquing SAGE, I just want to, you know, just briefly remind you that there are three parts to this. There's a, it does include a distribution of free open source math software. It has a way of gluing all of your favorite software together, and a computer algebra system. And I'd say that, you know, in terms of, this is sort of, I've reordered them from the way William usually presents it, in terms of what I think is from least controversial to most likely to provoke some questions. I mean, how can you object to having a distribution that, like, you download it and build it and it works? That's so much pain. That I don't think anyone will object to that. But the specifics of how the computer algebra system is put together is something you may very well have constructive comments to contribute. Okay, so the first feature is, of course, that SAGE is so new. It's about a year and a half old. It is, of course, built around a lot of mature components. Now, one positive thing here is that development's been going very fast, and you know, if you make comments, you know, you can have an impact on the system as it's developing. The first downside is that it's developing so fast, and there are a lot of, you know, corollaries. It's not finished in many ways. The design isn't necessarily stable. I mean, William tries to keep things from breaking from one version to the next, but that isn't always possible. And you know, with something this new, you have to wonder about, you know, is it viable in the long term? I mean, I hope so, but that at this point in time depends a lot on William. Of course, there are bugs. You know, if you try out SAGE and you find bugs, you should report them. You may be the first person to try doing something. You know, it's been built in, but not really exercised. So if you go to use SAGE, you know, you have to be aware that just, you know, might be problems because you're just the first person to try to do it. And there haven't really been any stable releases yet. So the thing that pretty much everyone does is they go and they get the newest release, which may have had five features added and, you know, a few bugs introduced just by accident in the process. So, you know, some things to think about. Feature number two is the open source approach, and there's a lot of good stuff about that. SAGE itself is free and open source, and it uses the, you know, pretty common open source development model, where we have the William as our benevolent dictator, it's absolutely necessary to have somebody who, in the end, makes the decision so you can move on, and the discussion doesn't just go on and on and on forever. And Sage only distributes free open source software. And the main advantage here is that you have many people looking at this stuff. You know, there are many people to find bugs, many people to fix bugs. And also, you yourself, if you have something that you critically need, you can go and easily fix and or optimize the parts that are critical to you, and you can easily share this with other people, which is not necessarily so easy to do in other systems sometimes. The downside, well, one would be, what if you don't want to have to fix it yourself? You have to convince somebody else, perhaps, to do it for you. And the boring bits, like documentation and testing, can lag behind a bit. Really, the benevolent dictator really needs to make an effort periodically. If the idea of having stable releases should help with this, because that's a natural time to sit and go through and say what needs to be updated. Another feature is the use of existing open source math software, and with the focus on integration, not reinventing the wheel. Reinventing the wheel, I guess, was the analogy. There are a lot of pros to this. There's a lot of software out there already. It covers a lot of territory, and some of these libraries are very mature at what they do. As William said, there are gaps in coverage. Now, before Sage, I'm not sure you would call these gaps. I mean, it was more like there were islands and a vast ocean between them. You couldn't put these things right next to each other and interoperate them, so they weren't gaps. They were just like isolated things that you could do. So in some sense, this is, as with so many things, these are gripes that come up because the software's so good. It's going to take some time and effort to fill these gaps. And the arithmetic geometry, if you're in that area, it looks bad compared to Magma, certainly.
Horrible.
Horrible. Well, I still like GP quite a lot, so it doesn't look that bad to me. Okay, another feature is Python. Now, as William said, traditionally each new path package invents its own little language, and instead Sage uses Python. So there are serious pros here. The language is mature, actively developed, etc. It is easy to read. It's often called executable pseudocode because you can just look at the code and understand it. It comes with a large collection of useful non-math libraries, for example, the web server interface. It does provide a convenient migration path. When you decide you've got some inner thing that needs to be sped up, you can sort of take that and redo it in Pyrex. You don't have to sort of completely rethink the architecture because you're going from into C or some language that looks entirely different. It has different data structures. Pyrex allows you access to very similar data structures. And the cons of this are, it gives you yet another language to learn, or if you do some Pyrex code, two more languages. The Python can be slow, and some Python idioms, as William pointed out, are just not very natural to a mathematician, like, 2/3 being 0, or 2 hat 2 also is 0, because hat is exclusive or.
Characteristic two.
Well, yeah. Well, no. Then, no. In characteristic two, I guess 2 to the 2 would be 1. I don't know. 0 to the 0.
Excuse me. How do you make this compute what you want, then? What must you type?
You typed exactly that.
You typed exactly correctly. That, but you have the next feature, which is the pre-parser. So there's the little bit of magic William didn't really explain, but what happens is when you type to an interactive Sage session, if you type 2/3, before it hands it to Python, it actually literally takes that string and converts it into the string ZZ of 2 or slash ZZ of 3, which is the command for take the integer 2 and convert it into a sage integer, slash take the integer 3 and convert it into a sage integer 3. And the same thing, the hat gets converted to star star. So, you know, and this mostly does what you want in most cases. But
that still doesn't answer what I asked.
Oh, well, this is a different, this.
No, but what do you type?
If you type two, you type 2 slash 3.
You said that in 0.
In Python.
In Python, but not in Sage.
You're in front of the Sage prompt.
That's right. You're in front of the Sage prompt, not the Python prompt.
And that will give you 2 first.
Yes.
As so a GMP rational number.
As a GMP gets, as a GMP rational. Yeah, so this introduces some subtle distinctions, though, because if you're writing library code, it's generally best to write the library code as Python files. And then you have to manually do any of this sort of thing that you need to do. Remember to do it for yourself, because it won't be handled for you. And so there's yet another language to learn. You have the Sage language versus the Python language. And it does introduce, there are occasional times when this wrapping doesn't do exactly what you want. And you have to be a little bit careful about that. You know, the preparser has to be tuned carefully so that it doesn't do things like take 2.2 as a real number and convert it into ZZ of 2 dot ZZ of 2, because that just doesn't make any sense. You want this to be a real number. So it has to you know, be smart enough to distinguish between integers and real numbers.
Well, why couldn't you have the preparser produce the Sage code and then you convert that into a Python version? Rather than have to remember to put in ZZ2.
No.
Oh, no.
That's exactly what we do, what you just said.
Yeah, the preparser takes this and produces that.
Yeah, but you were saying if you wanted to compile something, you would write it in Python.
Oh, you can write it. You can also put here.
You just say sage space dash preparse file name dot sage, and it gives you back file name dot py with all the changes made.
So you don't.
Like when people send me dot sage files and they want them into the library, I run the converter to make them into dot py files. Then I read it.
Yeah, here I mentioned you write a file with an extension dot sage, it automatically gets run through the preparser. So that's in the language of what you would type. But in general, you generally want to write library files that are supposed to run reasonably fast as Python, so that you have control over what happens. Because otherwise, there's some stupid things that happen where integers get. I mean, this first the interpreter converts it into a Python 2, and then the Python 2 is handed to the ring of integers class. Which then takes the Python do, converts it into a, does it do a string conversion or does it do a direct?
It's very fast. Gonzalo Tornoio rewrote everything to be very,
yeah,
very
I know.
Fast.
I know it's fast, but it's not something you want to do in an inner loop.
That's right. Definitely not. Because that will dominate.
Well, depending on what the loop is.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Sometimes it isn't what you want to do. And it can be a little bit subtle knowing. You can test. You can have the you can ask the preparser, you know, to give me the string of what you would do to this, so that you can see, I got this strange error message, what did it mean? You can see what happened. But you have to know about this. It's just something you have to know about. After using it for a while, you get to understand what's going to work and what isn't. But certainly, this is an issue. Then there's the command line interface, another feature, which there are a lot of good things about the command line interface. There's lots of help on functions. You can get to the source code of functions, tab completion, history. Control-C works pretty well. You can interact with other programs like GAV, gpmagmacache, or within Sage. And you know, all of these goodies that aren't necessarily normally available for the command line, but those programs are available. These are all good things, and actually, I don't have anything particularly bad to say about the command line interface. the notebook interface has all of those benefits, and also some other things, like you can access Sage from anywhere with a web browser, and you know, so you could, for example, expose a Sage web browser for students to use, to have access without having to install anything on their computers. So for here, I just wanted to add that, you know, this is still very experimental, but it looks very promising.
The notebook is getting pretty reasonable now. It's been pretty well tested. There's just some features that it would be nice to add, to put it mildly. It's pretty usable.
And then another interesting feature here is the Microsoft Windows support. So just to for a little bit of background on this, Sage on Windows pretty much has to run in some kind of simulated Linux environment. And I guess currently the preferred environment is cooperative Linux, called Co-Linux. And that's a lightweight Linux kernel that runs as a Windows process, which is a pretty interesting thing to see running. Other options would be Cygwin, which is sort of a similar idea, and VMware, which takes a step further, and it provides a whole virtual machine that when you create a new VMware system, the first thing you get is just a blank machine, and you have to with a BIOS already on it, and then you have to install some operating system onto that machine. VMware is not open source. So you know, the pros here, there are potentially a lot of users who have Windows machines, and with the notebook interface, you don't really have to know all that much about Linux. You just click an icon to start your Sage web server under Co-Linux. You start your Windows web browser, and then you do whatever you do, accessing your local server over a simulated private network. But there are some cons here, mostly in terms of effort. Each release of Sage that goes to Co-Linux is still, at this point, a significant amount of work. And it's not as easy to install the Co-Linux thing as it is on Windows, as it is to install Sage under Linux and OS X and things like that. So there are definitely some issues there.
Actually, can I add one con?
Yeah.
I don't have a good... It's like a technological challenge, but I don't have a good way to use, say, Mathematica if you have it installed in Windows from Co-Linux installed in Windows.
No.
So that's a serious issue. You'd have to buy Mathematica for Linux and install it into the Co-Linux thing, which would work. Or you'd have to come up with some way to... I mean, it's possible, but I don't know how to do it exactly yet.
Oh, that sounds pretty hard, actually.
Yeah. One of the guys working for me has some ideas because he's a programmer, but...
I see. Some way to...
Just need to set up a server for Mathematica.
You need a terminal interface across the boundary.
Exactly. It's possible. Questions pop.
No.
It's not solved.
Okay, so that's... I mean, I what I'm trying to do is to just get you primed with ideas of things that need improving. Okay, so now it's time for feedback from the audience. I just want, give us ideas about what you want to see in Sage. What do you want? Right? This is the audience participation portion. And I've got some ideas for discussion listed up here. What's important in terms of, say, support? There's a mailing list. Is that all you need? Obviously, documentation is important, but what's user, programmer, system programmer is important to really see how the inner stuff works.
So I've got a question.
Yeah.
Suppose you're using a GP command or a gap command inside a Sage session. How easy is it to pull up documentation inside Sage? Do you have to sort of go outside?
No, it's very good. It's exactly the same as client documentation on the Sage command. You just put question mark after the command name. And I have special code. Yeah, it works exactly like any of the Sage stuff.
Right. William had to write something to know this is GP, and so I need to go.
And it goes to the right place.
And with Magma, it's actually better than Magma's fault. Because you can ask for just the commands for that take an elliptic curve as the first argument, for example. And when you ask for the help on those commands, it'll give you only the ones that apply to an elliptic curve. Whereas if you say order in Magma, it scrolls by every single order. It doesn't give you just the elliptic curve orders. Yeah. So there's some ways in which it's better.
So how much overlap is there between Sage routines and the routines of the other programs we call up? And where there is overlap, how do you suggest we choose which to use?
Probably whichever is better for your...
Yeah, but how do I know that? They're supposed to do the same thing, and I'm not sure a priori which one is more.
I would do whatever's the least amount of typing until you discover that it is a time-critical portion of your code.
If you know GP extremely well, then you may want to use a GP function for something, even though there's a corresponding function in Sage, just because you know exactly what that GP function does and you're experienced with it. You have a lot of flexibility.
Look
at examples.
A difference for Magma is it's not trying to impose a single hierarchical view on everything. And I think that's just going to get more pronounced over time as people contribute. Here's something that's good at doing the very big case, or here's something that's very good at multivariate polynomials. So you'll have to decide which looks like the best way to go.
Question about the web interface. Anything that I can do, I were to download Sage and run it. Anything that I can do on my computer, can I do on the web interface?
Yeah.
I think so.
And then the computation.
It's identical.
If I have to do a computation that's running on your server, what if I put in a really big computation?
So you're talking about the particular notebook interface I have running right now on my server?
Yes.
It's running, just really quick, it's running in a changeroot jail, so that it doesn't have much disk space. It's in a changeroot jail, so there's very little you can do to harm the system. But you can run a big calculation that could take a long time. There's nothing to prevent that right now. I may just kill it. I occasionally look. There's 16 processors, so if there are a lot of jobs running, I might get annoyed and kill it. There's no guarantees with the notebook. And I occasionally restart it when I upgrade. So it's better to have your own or to get an account on the machine.
Sure.
But have fun. Throw it in.
I was at the Arizona Water School with William, as he mentioned in his talk, and I had quite a bad experience with Sage, but I wanted just to point out one thing, and I would like to understand what was going on. The students who were working with me had to program, well, I thought they would program in GP, and William convinced them to do it in Sage. But then what happened was that their program ran about 10 times slower, and from what I understand, the main reason is that the basic functions that they used were just the Python functions instead of being the GP functions. But when I'm talking of functions, I'm not talking of sophisticated algorithms like this, but probably just the basic multi-precision operations or whatnot. And as soon as we switched back to GP, it went 10 times faster. So my question is why?
I can tell you exactly what that was. Complex numbers in Sage right now are implemented in Python on top of real numbers that are implemented in a compiled language.
Why don't you do it by default using GMP or GP or whatever you want, but with something which is efficient? That's my question.
Because it's ridiculously easy to implement it as a Python class and then move it over.
But if it's so slow.
Well, okay, so first we implemented the reals by default that way, and then we implemented the complexes not that way. And the main reason is that for what I was doing with the complexes when I first implemented them, the speed of the arithmetic wasn't at all that important. So, I mean, it's not that hard to move it over to be compiled, and I'm sure it'll happen in the near future. But complex number arithmetic is slow because it's in this interpreter. I mean, it's significantly harder to write something. I mean, honestly, it's significantly harder to write something in a compiled environment than in an interpreted environment. So I can write a really nice complex number class with no bugs that works perfectly in an afternoon. And to write it in a compiled system, I have to spend maybe a week, and I'll have a lot of subtle bugs. I mean, you know that from implementing Pyre.
Why
would you want? I think it's better to get the interface right, know
sure,
exactly how everything works.
Why do you need to rewrite it, since you say you don't want to reinvent the wheel? Why can't you use one?
It's much easier to write it in a compiled setting once you know exactly what it's supposed to do, and you've written huge numbers of tests that test out the interface, because then you know exactly when something's wrong. Plus, it would be 10 years to get to where we are now if I had written everything from that point of view. Maybe 20 years. I mean, it's just not feasible at a certain point.
I think I'm reading that perhaps William is sounding a little more defensive than
he needs to. Yeah, maybe I'm missing the point.
I think he should be saying you have a very good point.
Yeah. Okay.
And.
But I'm trying to answer his question too.
As to why you didn't.
I mean, I did answer your question. That's
sure,
why I
didn't answer my question.
Because I wanted something that worked perfectly and that worked rather than nothing at all. Basically, that's the answer.
You can make it work, but what I'm asking is.
Well, then I wouldn't have any. I mean, I'd still be working on that.
You were trying to get coverage rather than.
Yeah, I very much wanted to do a specific calculation and make some, do something, and I couldn't do it with no complex numbers at all. So I wrote complex numbers, I wrote huge numbers of examples illustrating their usage. I did the calculation I wanted. I'm very confident that the complex numbers I implemented work right, because it's really, really easy to implement them in an interpreted system. And now I can worry that they're too slow, and I can fix that. And probably what will happen is maybe Kyle Schaum, I don't know if you're here, but he did the MPFR wrapping of the reels. You know, I asked some grad student to do it. A week later, there it is, and I can test it against all the code I wrote. And I know that they're writing against an interface that has been defined by an interpreted and easy to write program or class. So, it's working really well in practice.
I think that's a development model issue.
Yeah.
I mean, things get fixed as they're needed, and someone makes enough noise about it.
Like with matrices, the base class that implements a lot of generic functionality for matrices, I also wrote in Python at the beginning. And about a week ago, Martin Albrecht from Bremen sent me a Pyrex version of it. And the amount of time it took me to go from the Python version to the Pyrex version was about 1 second, because I didn't have to do it. But the interface and how it works with the rest of the system is exactly what I laid out very, very easily. So, I guess that hopefully answers your question. But it certainly is a huge con, these optimization issues. You have to address them.
So. Yeah. I have one quick question. You already mentioned that Maxima doesn't quite rank on the first page on Google. I noticed that Sage doesn't either.
It's on the second, right before senior action in a gay environment. Yeah, unfortunately, it's a common word. If you type Sage space algebra or Sage space geometry or Sage space pretty much anything, then you get it as the first hit, but not by itself. It's a very competitive word.
Fewer letters is Sage days.
Yeah, Sage days, there you are. But yeah, the senior action in a gay environment. Battling out with them.
One last question.
Yeah.
Does MATLAB work with Sage?
There's no interface to MATLAB yet. The reason is because it's such a pain to buy and install. Some students installed it on my computer about 2 days ago, so I assume there will be an interface in the very near future. I just moved to UW, and it seems like everybody uses MATLAB there, so there will be an interface in the near future. There's a lot of applied math people there.
Yeah, Octave, right?
Yeah, it should be almost, yeah. I think it'll be very little work as soon as I get a computer with MATLAB installed on it. That's the problem.
But MATLAB's functions are all just double precision. yeah. Arithmetic, so are you going to have a multi-precision? Or is it just going to be called?
Double precision arithmetic is very useful for certain things.
For certain things, yeah.
Such as the...
It can do what it can do.
Right. And to be able to easily use it right in the middle of some other program you're writing can be incredible time-saver.
I think we'll have to wrap it up. But I mean, of course, talk to William. I can take notes, but I can't answer so many questions. Continue talking to William.
Speakers will be available during the coffee break if you want to continue these discussions. It seems to be that you'll want to.
Thanks very much.
Our next speaker is so.
Oh, yes, 3 minutes.
What's happening here?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
So here's the question. Why don't you just use the Fourier
About some birds as opposed to nature?
You can use Fourier functions in Moodle. As a user, you can easily use the Fourier complex. Let's just say Fourier and put in quotes the complex number you want to make, and there you have it. Fourier complex number. You can do exactly that. But there are drawbacks. I mean, the Fourier complex numbers are simply a wrapping of. I mean, I think they're just. There's some issues with them. I think MPFR has a better model for real number arithmetic, and you can build complexes on top of it. Some people try to write something called MPC, or MPFC, which is a complex analog of MPFR, but it's like halfway done. It's in version 0.2. Actually, that's another answer to Henri's question. Yeah. There's no good C library for complex numbers, actually. Forgot to mention that. I think I...